Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. The title of my message this morning is A Happy New Year with a question mark on the end. And we'll be looking at Luke chapter 5 verses 6 through 39. And before we look at God's Word, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to just come and share Your Word and sing Your Word and understand the truth of it. Father, I pray that You would have full reign here today, that Your Holy Spirit will have control. Lord, I pray that if someone does not know the truth, Lord, does not know salvation, that this would be the day of their salvation. And for us, Lord, help us, Lord, to start this new year, Lord, with a new commitment to You. Lord, I just ask that You just help us to make the decisions that You want us to make. And Father, help us to follow You more this year than we did last year for Your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39, Jesus is telling a parable. And this parable is in all the Gospels except John. And in verse 36, He says, He spake also a parable unto them. He says, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. You know, if you're trying to repair an old piece of clothing, you put a new patch in, you try to sew it in, it'll kind of rip out. And that's what God is saying here. Christ is also saying, He says, you put in new wine, unfermented wine, into a wineskin, what's going to happen is over time it's going to start fermenting and it's going to explode the wineskin. The other thing that he says, if you start out in the old stuff, you won't want the new stuff. Which is what verse 39 says. It says, no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he says, hey, I like that old stuff better. Folks, we shouldn't want the old stuff. We should not want the old stuff, especially in this new year. You know, Happy New Year is the greeting of the day. You know, when you go to a store today, it's Happy New Year. Really? You know, this just almost taken just as a hello. Do we really wish for a Happy New Year? I wish that Christ comes back this year. I wish that we would be on revival this year. I wish that this church would be on fire this year. Happy New Year to a Christian should mean so much more than just a salutation or a greeting. You know, the new year is not really new. Everything that was happening yesterday is kind of happening today. He said, well, thousands shout Happy New Year today, they wake up to the same old burdens as before. And nothing's changed. You still have the same troubles. You may still have the same health issues. May still have the same financial issues. Unfortunately, some people still have the same spiritual issues. And this day is just the same as all the others. But it could change. But it could change. You know, for many, if you live where we live, wow, the fireworks were just tremendous. And the chamberlain or the reveling of it was tremendous last night. But I'm sure there's a lot of people not here today wishing that they had done so much last night. And Happy New Year just brings a headache to them. You know, we celebrate the passing of midnight as this magical time that starts everything new, but it really doesn't. You know, as we go into this message today, I want you to understand that we can decide to make the new year happy. We can decide today to make this year better than the last. But we have to have a change in our life. Yeah. So this morning I want to talk about three things that we could do to make this truly a happy new year. The first one is a new birth. A new birth. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus is meeting Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the religious people that day. And because he didn't want to be seen by the other ones who didn't believe in Christ, he came to Jesus secretly by night. And he was asking God about he's asking God in the flesh about the truth that he'd been preaching. It says here in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This morning we talked about the kids real quick, about the new Jerusalem and the new heaven. If you're not born again, you won't be there. Right. You won't be there. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the what? Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, the new birth has a necessity. You are either born again or you're not. You either have the new birth and been born twice, or you're not. It is black and white. He says here, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't think anyone in this room and anyone listening on the internet would not want to see heaven. But there is a requirement to see it. And it's to have a new birth. You know, we always dream of the opportunity of starting over again. We go out, we buy a new house, or we have a new child, or we get a new appliance or something like that, and we say, oh, this is going to be different. We came into this year hoping that it was going to be better than last year. There's things in our lives that we want to change. But you know something? When you receive Christ as your Savior, you are new. You are born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Newly created, recreated. Old things are passed away, just like 2022. And thank goodness for that. There have been a lot of challenges last year. Old things are passed away. Behold what? All things have become new. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, He takes away all of your sins. He wipes the slate clean. You have a blank page. And you can start living for Him in a way that you could never live for Him before. But you know, there's a lot of confusion over what the new birth is. I will tell you what the new birth is not. It's not baptism. Baptism just gets you wet. Baptism is a symbol that you have been born again. Baptism is showing that you have made a commitment and a public profession of faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, Then they that gladly received the what?
Word.
The Word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the issue of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip met this man out in the desert, he says, Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Why can't I get baptized? And Philip says, If you believe, You can be. And then the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And then he was baptized. Folks, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It happens because you are saved.
Amen.
If you believe that baptism is necessary for your salvation, it's a work, and that's not grace.
Amen.
So what the new birth is not, it is not baptism. It's not some ritual. It's not some sacrament. It's true faith by grace in Christ. It's not reformation. You can't make yourself good enough to merit God's favor to come into heaven.
Right.
You cannot do it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
Right.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know what I find out? Whenever I try to do things good on myself, I fail. I fail. I find out that there's a higher standard. I fail. Find out that I can't do it unless I have someone in me who is the Holy Spirit. And I can't have the Holy Spirit unless I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The new birth is a necessity to go to heaven. The new birth is not baptism. It's not reformation. For all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There are none that doeth good. No, not one. The new birth occurs upon receiving Christ by faith alone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For they that call upon the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as what? Received Him. It's the gift of God. To Him gave He power to become the sons of God. You can't do it on your own. God must do it for you.
Right.
But you make the choice.
Amen.
You make the choice. Even to them that what? Believe on His name. Oh, folks, don't hide behind a lie. Don't hide behind good works. Don't hide behind the fact that you've been coming to this church for years. Don't hide behind any of that. Get born again.
Yes.
Understand that you need forgiveness of your sins and the gift of salvation through Christ alone. So, how can that be a happy new year? If you've not been born again to get the new birth, that'll make this the best year possible. Because it'll change the direction of your life. It'll change the direction of your eternity. So, the new birth. Secondly, you know, we all make New Year's resolutions. I've already seen them in my family. Okay? And you know about New Year's resolutions. Unless we put any sort of commitment and diligence to it, we'll last maybe a couple of days and then it's gone. It's gone. You know, what we need is a new walk. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, here is a fundamental truth for the believer. For sin shall not have dominion or rule over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You are no longer the servant of sin. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, we need to glorify God in this body. But you know something? In my life and my working with people, and I've seen some miserable Christians. And I found out that this is a fundamental truth.
Right.
There is no one more miserable than the believer who doesn't live right. There's no one more miserable than someone that holds on to some sin. God wants to be Lord of all of you, not just the part that you're willing to relinquish. You know, we look up at the apostles and we think that they're great people, and they are. They're great examples of the faith, but they were human too. Paul struggled with this. In Romans chapter 7, verses 23 through 24, it says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." You know, there's a lot of things that we want to do, but we don't. There's a lot of things we want to do, but we'll come up with excuses why we can't do them. There's a lot of things that we want to do, and then all of a sudden we get sidetracked from it. Folks, we can't get sidetracked with God. You know, this is a pretty simple message. You know something? Faith is simple. It really is. It's simple to believe in Christ. It's simple to follow Him. Just don't sin. Just don't willingly go out and do it. Change your mind. Change your life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, "By seeing the law of my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, what wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" The same one who gave you a new birth can give you a new walk today. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You know, I'm glad that God is a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance. And we keep on messing up, and God's grace, so where sin abounds, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
So we need a new walk. You know, there should be a difference between the old walk and the new walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the last verse of our passage this morning, it said, "No one who's drunk of the old wants the new." Folks, once you drink of the new, you should never want the old again.
Amen.
You should never want the old again. There's the flesh and the spirit. And I'm going to read passages today. I'm going to let God's Word preach.
Come on.
In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, it says this, "This I say then." Here's the same one. It says, "O wretched man that I am." He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary." That means they're opposite the one to another. "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, have you ever been there? You really want to do something and you never seem to get there? Maybe this year, so I want to be more for God. I want to be more like Christ, and that's absolutely essential. That's how you can have a happy new year. But we always fall short. We say, "God, deliver me from this." But do we really mean it? He says, "But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Paul's writing to the church. And he says, "I know you struggle with this. This is something we struggle with." He says, "These are things that if you're doing them, you're not living for God." of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, because they weren't saved in the first place, because there was no change. You're a new creature. These things are gone. Sin won't have dominion over you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, how many in here say, I can love better than what I've loved in the past? Yep. Joy. How many in here could say that I have more joy than I have in the past? Absolutely. Peace. Oh, we long for peace. We try to make peace in ourselves, but only God can give us peace. For He is our peace. Long suffering. How many want more patience? Yep. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such, there is no law. If you're living for God, everything's going to be fine. You might get some people upset, but God will look down and say, you see my servant down there? So there needs to be a contrast between there will be a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. There should be a change in the walk before and after salvation. Now he's writing to the church at Ephesus. You know, the churches in Galatia and the church at Ephesus, you know what? They were living in a world just like ours. Idolatry, lying, cheating, stuff that we just know more about because we can see it on the news. We can read it on the internet. Nothing's changed. There's no new thing under the sun. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Paul starts out there here with this. Be ye therefore followers of God as what? Dear children. If you have the new birth, you are a child of God. And then we need to be followers of God. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We need to always remember how we got here. It's only through Christ.
Right.
In Christ alone my hope is found. Mm-hmm. There's no other foundation laid that can be laid except Christ Jesus. But once again, Paul starts doing this. But fornication. What is that? That's any sort of sex outside of marriage, period. Oh, by the way, Christ said this. Even sinful thoughts like that, it's the same thing. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know, we need to live to a higher standard.
Right.
New Testament says we can't use the liberty as a license. Says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know. I'm not so sure. There's a lot of people call themselves Christians and just live just like the world. And the Bible says this, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, that means it has place in his life or her life, higher than God, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What did he talk about? There's no one more miserable than a believer who's not living and walking right. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all good is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is the acceptable unto the Lord. You know, your life should prove what you believe. Your life does prove what you believe.
It does.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, I can't tell people they're doing the wrong thing. Talk about this in Sunday school this morning with the youth. We need to judge righteous judgment. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. And there's places, churches called today, that flaunt sin. Even in the leadership. It's a shame!
Right.
Folks, it's time to live righteously. Have God revive us again. Do the right thing. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Why is it done in secret? Because no one wants you to know. But God sees. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the day is evil. Oh, folks, there is a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. There is a contrast between the old walk and the new walk. There's a difference between day and night. Right and wrong. In Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Christ is coming back sooner than it was last year.
Amen.
We need to be ready for it. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Amen.
Folks, this ought to motivate you. There's a new walk that needs to be happening. To practice the new walk, you must feed the new man. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We used this last Wednesday night. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil spirits, you got to make a choice. I mean, you're going to go this way or this way. This is God's way. I'm going to walk this way.
Amen.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To practice the new walk, you must feed the new man. Which do you feed more? The flesh or the spirit? To practice the new walk, you must reckon yourself dead with Christ and alive with Him. You know, dead men don't sin. Dead women don't sin. Romans 6, verses 11 through 12 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Not just dead, but to be dead indeed. Okay, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Folks, one of our things for this year, it says, I'm going to live more holy for God. And if that's not your desire, then there's something wrong. God's will for our lives to be transformed to image and glory to glory. That's His will for our life. So, do you need a new birth today? Do you need a new walk today? Do you need a new goal? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that the past is the past. 2022 is gone. Those decisions have happened. Those opportunities have vanished. They cannot be reclaimed. But what we're going to do, we're going to keep on moving forward. We're going to keep on moving forward. The past is the past. Christ died on the cross for all of your sins, the past sins. And once you forgive once you confess your sins, forsake them. That's what repentance is. Don't remember them anymore. We ask God not to remember them. Why do we keep on bringing them up? Paul says this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul knew what he was. Look at his past sins. He was persecuting the church. He was putting people in prison. He was killing Christians. He says, God came to save sinners, of which I'm... He never forgot where he came from, but that gave him more excitement about the grace that he experienced. But not only that, leave past victories behind too. There's a lot of people that just want to bake in the solace of the things that they've done in the past. That's in the past. What are you going to do for God today? What are you going to do for God tomorrow? Well, I did this. Well, then just do it again. He's the same God now as he is in the past. He's the same God in the future as he is today. So we need to understand, for a new goal, we need to understand that the past is the past. We need to learn the lessons of that. You know, Paul was willing to forget all that may hinder him and his life to Christ. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Before. Do you have a new goal since becoming a Christian? I want to challenge you today. If you have the new birth, you want to share that good news to somebody else. If you have no desire to witness to someone else and tell them how God's changed your life, there's something wrong. You need a new walk. You need a new goal. If things that you did in the past and you know are contrary to God's word, and you keep on doing them and there's no remorse about that, you need a new goal. You need forgiveness. And have God to forget that. And then you forget it and you move forward. But there's people that are stuck in the things they've done in the past. Say, well, God can't release me from that. No, you don't release yourself. That's the problem. Paul was willing to forget all that may hinder him for his life for Christ. You know, we need to make it a priority in our life. Question this morning, are you willing to forget the past in order to reach your goal? You know, Christ had a crowd of people and he was calling people to follow him. And there's three instances of people coming up and said, hey, I'll follow you, but let me check out my land. Let me be with my family. Let me try out these new ox. Let me try out my new ride. Let me try out this stuff, and then I'll do it. No, God needs to be a priority in your life. First thing. See, that's what the problem was with the church at Ephesus. He says, you've left your what? First love. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says this, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, you know, there's awful results of neglecting these truths this morning. No new birth. Your soul is still in a lost condition. And you're on your way to hell and not heaven. You need to ask Christ to save you today. No new walk. Your testimony's lost. You can't be an effective witness. You can't do what God has commissioned us to do. No new goal. There's no rewards. There's no rewards. The practical results of acting in the truth is salvation and separation and sanctification and dedication and making a difference. And that's what the book of Jude says. On some having compassion, making a difference. Make this year new in your life to be happy. What do you need to make new today, folks? You know, you have to make the choice. You have to decide today what you're going to do. This may be, this is your first choice this year. It may be your only choice.
Right.
So let's do the right thing today, folks. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, help us, Lord, to follow you. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that the day that would be their day of salvation. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to have a new walk. Help us, Lord, to have you set our goals and that we would follow you with all of our heart. Father, that's what you ask us to do. We're supposed to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Let that be our goal this year, Lord. Lord, but we can't do that unless we have you inside. We can't do that unless we're walking for you. Father, be with this time of invitation. Have your full will and way and truth happen today and change our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have thine own.